My PMA is getting, like, it's getting larger and larger. It's growing weekly, daily, if you will.
It's throbbing. So Joe, it's throbbing.
It's a big throbbing, it's pulsing. PMA. Yeah, it's pulsating.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, thank God. And as I said, love is in the air.
Period. I keep throwing this out there.
I just feel like that is the motto of life. Love is in the air.
Okay.
You like that?
I love that for you.
I'm leaning into it.
I'm confused about it, but I'm happy for you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think that's the new me.
Yeah.
Is I'm confused about it, but I'm happy for you is how I'm going to start going. Because, like, I'm someone
so who's... So it's no longer going to be like a...
Why are you doing that?
It's a... I'm confused, but
I'm happy. I think that my thing is... I can't start therapy and meet... Now I'm in a therapist mindset every time we start this podcast. Maybe not the worst concept.
I kind of love it.
But I'm just thinking, like, maybe a lot of my frustration and my judgment comes from I don't like not knowing something. Mm-hmm. So when something confuses me, I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, I'm confused. Yeah. But I'm glad that love is in the air for you.
Yeah. You're crazy. What's wrong with you?
Stupid.
You're happy.
So why is love in the air? What's going on?
I just feel like the past couple of days, things have been shifting in my favor.
Oh, you think?
I do.
Okay.
And it could be the affirmations. It could be the
self. Are you doing them every day?
I am.
Oh my God.
I am.
Do some at the start right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you throw some at me? I'll repeat.
Yeah. I am worthy.
I am worthy.
I am confident.
I am confident.
I am sexy.
I am sexy.
I am smart.
I am smart.
I am capable.
I am capable.
I am strong.
I am strong.
I am resilient.
I am resilient.
I am... passionate.
I am passionate.
I am excited.
I'm excited.
I have a voice.
I have a voice.
Good children.
And I am fine with that.
Period.
Hey, you guys, and welcome back to Good Children, the podcast where hosts Joe Hedges
and Andrew Muscarella
reflect on our 22 years of friendship, growing up in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and all of the nostalgia, trauma, and graduations that came along with it.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
It's been through every big mistake. Single
year.
Huge mistake. Big mistake on our part.
What the hell were we
doing? Why were we doing this? Why did we do this?
We made it.
We made it. I think that we'll never do something like what we did for the past 7 episodes again.
No.
7 episodes, yeah.
7 episodes.
Yeah, that was not it.
It really, it's done. It was some of the most troubled parts
of our life, of my entire life, like not just of the podcast.
Because you guys, you know what? Like, reflecting on our childhood, amazing. Reflecting on some of the most awkward years of our lives, though, it brings up some things.
It brings up some things. I enjoy it. I just didn't like the structure.
Yeah.
It was too structured. I just want to sit and gab.
We got ADHD. Nothing. We want to bounce.
Listen, my therapist today, to bring him back up. I was really trying to get him to get me someone to diagnose me with ADHD, and he just didn't even bother. He was like, yeah, you have it. He didn't even bat an eye.
It's don't even worry about it.
Yeah, for sure. And people with ADHD should do things and start giving me a list of things to do. Yeah.
Wow. He was like, how CBT. Many more tasks did you do? CBD?
CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Leaning in.
Yeah, you're leaning in.
Yeah, I'm going to go start going for 5-minute walks.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Senior year.
Senior year. So what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about all things 12th grade. Oh, that last year, God. You're the head honcho of that school. It's honestly the last year before things get serious.
We've said this about every
year every grade
of our lives.
Every grade.
Because is it the last year before? Were things serious for you? Things were as serious as they could get for you senior year of high school.
But you got to think. I'm about to leave. After this year, I'm moving out. I'm becoming an adult.
Yeah, you are.
That's the thing. This is my last year to genuinely feel like a kid
under that roof. I had a good 10 years of that afterwards.
You just got out of it.
Yeah. Senior year is a great time. I think that, and I've talked about this before, I've always benefited from the end of something. I always grow the most at the end of a school year, at the end of an experience, at the end of a job. I think it's when I stop caring. I've stopped worrying so much about what other people are thinking. And I'm just going to be myself. And senior year was that for me. It was the time when I was like, I'm going to make friends. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to become royal, actually, is what happened. So I'm going to become someone else. You know, I'm going to develop an alter ego.
Last year to do it, you might as well try it out, especially a few months before that school year ends.
Why not?
If you were to do royal and everyone's like, that's a fucking freak.
Well, it doesn't matter. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, but like, now?
Look at me now. Now Royal is one of the most celebrated characters in film history. It's truly...
That's the one.
It's ongoing. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much to Wes Anderson for developing the character first. Mm-hmm.
I do want to say it, though, about Royal. And I know that you've shown the picture multiple times. You've shared it. But this one with the
I look kind of good.
You look really good, Joe.
I look kind of good.
And it was kind of alarming and shocking when I was looking back on it. I was like, really? You were modeling.
I've always been a model.
Yes.
I think at my core, like, and I'm not even saying that in like a self-celebratory way, like I've always known how to pose in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. Like whether or not the pictures turned out good, whether or not like I have model proportions, I kind of do.
Yeah.
At least some of them. I have always known how to take a picture of myself.
Yes.
So, yeah, Royal, and that was at the time I had my camera for a couple years now. I was, like, really on the internet. I knew
you were up in that room being like, let's do this. Go.
Yeah.
I know my angles.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was actually rolling up a piece of paper that looked like a joint and put it in my mouth for a few of them.
You're so nuts. Because
I wanted to smoke weed so badly.
You're such a nuts person.
That's me.
I'm confused, but I'm happy.
I'm confused, but I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Prom.
Prom?
You had prom. I had banquet. What's up with your prom?
Should we start with the beginning of the year, maybe? And then
You're right.
I feel like because I have some shit to say about that goddamn fucking prom.
Yeah, you do. You might as well leave that shit to me.
I don't talk to any of those people anymore. No, they don't talk to me. Mm-mm. Not one of them, except for Frank. And that's fine. That just goes to show you that a lot of things went down. And now it's been almost a decade, and those tensions, the blood is still bad to this day.
Wait, that's tough.
You start the year, you're like, oh my god, this is it. This is our last September. This is our last first day of school.
Oh my god, going into school, saying that to everybody, like giving people hugs, being like, you guys,
we have 180 days left.
We're never going to have another September 7th ever again.
Yeah, we're never going to have another 9/11 in school again ever again. Me.
You. It's like, you, fuck. Because like after that, like you won't be in college on 9/11. But not with your classmates.
Not with my class, not with the kids I grew up with for 4 years.
Not with your classmates. Showing up to school, first day of school outfits, you know that was the biggest deal
what did you wear?
This was the story. We've mentioned
wore
this.
The same outfit as John Paul Weiss.
Wore that same outfit as John Paul Weiss. Tensions rose.
Oh, I'm sure.
We diffused the tension.
Did you diffuse the tension? How quickly?
I would say that, like, give it within the week.
I was going to say, it was not the same
Not the day. Yeah. Not the day, because I think that there was, like, a how could you?
You said that?
No, I think
you were
John
copying
Paul,
his outfit?
I know you're listening.
John Paul, you copied John Paul's outfit? You guys.
Okay.
If you're not noticing a theme yet, we have a copycat in the presence here.
I'm going to need John Paul to almost call it at one point. I personally believe that he copied my outfit. This is me airing my dirty laundry, but I do believe it was copied. And by all means, like looking back on it, you could have that outfit.
The math adds up that it was you copying the outfit.
I'm easily influenced and I'm easily inspired. That doesn't mean I copy.
Yes, it does. You copy tests, you copy outfits.
Don't project outfits on me. Maybe. Sometimes recently, but not in high school. Okay, high school, I felt like I started my own. I was that sad bitch wearing Vineyard Vines. This was senior year.
Who were you inspired by? I know that if we're gonna, we're tarnishing John Paul's reputation this episode, and then when you continue to,
no.
I know that like you brought him toward the Vineyard Vines side. You brought me to the Vineyard Vines side.
Yes.
Like you did that.
We helped. We guided each other along the way.
Who did you look towards for that? Was it Mitt Romney?
Oh, it wasn't Mitt.
Was it like his sons or something?
It could have been like of that genre of person.
A young Republican?
And like Kyle James Patrick. I had his bracelets. Yeah, I think that like that was my inspiration. Prep? There was something about that prep outfit for me.
Something about prep. Get on it.
Guys, get on it. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do that? You're going to do that here?
Like, this podcast has been us going back and forth, one of us not having prep.
Yeah, I'm like, you're going to do that?
Yeah, no, you really became like a little prepper.
I became the prepster of a school where I don't think that was of the norm.
And you said salmon shorts, salmon pants, mm-hmm. salmon shirt,
yeah.
anything salmon. And you anything. Were swimming upstream.
Instead of seeing another salmon, I'm seeing a bear.
Really?
Really? Because I'm seeing a whale. My lacrosse coach actually looked me in the face when I was wearing one of the outfits and he said, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are wearing that?
Your lacrosse coaches were trying to get you to kill yourself.
No, that's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Now that I look back on it, I'm like, they wanted me dead.
Dead. Dead in a ditch.
You shouldn't be wearing that to the school. And, I mean, they kind of read me and they, you know, why are you limiting my self-expression?
I actually can't wait to see how you're depicted on television. Contrary to your prep and prep, I had now entered my grunge 70s alternative Tumblr skinny jean Nirvana t-shirt denim jacket era, which I don't think I've ever really truly left.
No. I think that was me being like,
this is who I am. And I was learning that from Kanye West, from... Everything in that 70s show, Tumblr was a big inspo, as we just said. And that time for me, I was like, I'm so fucking cool. Like, mm-hmm. it was the first time, especially, I wonder if having a uniform helped me, like, disguise it. Because I was, like, able to show up 4 times a year in normal clothes and, like, put so nice. Effort into that experience. Where yeah. I was like, I'm going to show up and show up. I do think...
You know, wipe the floor clean.
And each dress down day, I think I showed up as a different character. Like, I think that, like... Because one time I was in flannel shirt, denim jacket, Nirvana tee, black skinny jeans, Doc Martens, like, full cool Tumblr kid. One time I was in Vineyard Vines color block, button down,
you blue shorts. You loved that color block.
Fake glasses. Like, went full opposite aesthetic. I went Jonah Hill in The Wolf of Wall Street was what I yep. was going for. Like, Sperry's, like, went that vibe. So I think I was, like, just trying out different characters.
Yeah.
And someone once told me that, not that long ago, said you always show up in costume. You don't dress, you wear costumes. And I do think that's true. And I feel like that evolved in high school with those limited opportunities.
How did you take that?
It was honestly a supermodel who told me that. So okay. I took it as like a little bit of a compliment. I was like, that's kind of chic to say. That's kind of
chic to show up in costume.
Yeah, to show yeah. up in costume. I think it's true. I think I've slowly stopped doing that, but I'm going back into it. I don't want costumes again.
I don't think it's a problem.
No, it's exploration.
It is because again, like what doesn't change is you.
Mm-hmm.
But what can change is what's on the outside.
And what can change, you can change your name and you can change your clothes.
You can change your mind. That's just the way it goes.
You can become royal.
Say goodbye and you can say hello. But you'll always
find your way back home.
To royal. The Vineyard Vines lasted for me, I think, all the way through. Yeah, it lasted for about 5 years.
Yeah, made its way through college, didn't it?
Through college into Boston. Yeah, to Boston. I brought Vineyard Vines to Boston.
I don't know if you brought Vineyard Vines to Boston. I have a strong feeling Vineyard Vines' presence in Boston was heavily documented prior to your arrival in that city.
Oh, Joe, it's like started there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't necessarily bring Vineyard Vines to Boston.
You brought your but Vineyard, I brought Vines, Vineyard there. Vines there. Right. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And it is interesting. Like, why were you styling yourself as like a 60-year-old divorcee dad, Republican dad?
Why was I doing that?
Yeah.
Listen.
This is why your lips are chapped.
Because I'm sucking them.
All you do
them.
Is suck them dry.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
It's because when you have this surface area, you want some wetness on that lip.
Chapstick.
I know, but then there's so many problems. I have so many problems. but I will say, Vineyard Vines. It wasn't necessarily, it was the aesthetic. I did love the pops of colors because
I'm gay.
It was the
sizing. Gay. We talked about
it. It was the sizing. Yeah. Again, when you have a large that actually is a triple XL, I'm loving it.
Of course.
I'm a medium.
It was affirming.
And then all it took was two large men to create a company.
Yes.
And I was in on it.
And it was like $80 for a short sleeve button down.
But you would find me at the outlets.
Yes. You love the Tanger outlets.
I would get my like lacrosse belt and I would leave.
Those goddamn fucking
belts. Flip-flops.
It always comes back to a flip-flop.
The lacrosse flops. And those flip-flops didn't fit. They didn't fit my feet. And that's literally fine.
Wow. So Vineyard Vines wasn't inclusive?
Not to the wide footers.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Okay, regardless, like, I'm not going to wear a flip-flop again.
No, you should.
I do like my Havaianas.
Your what?
Exactly.
Your whom?
Mm-hmm.
Haviana?
Yeah.
Grande?
My Haviana Grandes.
What are Havaianas?
Joe, they're like the it flop in Brazil.
This is when I was so desperate to smoke a fucking joint. And I would lie. And I would lie. You know this. I've come clean.
Yeah, of course.
I would be obviously alone in my room, as I was almost every night of my life. And I would take a bunch of pictures of me where I was like really squinting and like raising my eyebrows and like Googling like what do high people look like and like replicating it and then like posting it to like Tumblr and being like out with the girls and like knowing that like Frank or Sarah or like anyone who knew me from school would be like, who does he hang out with? And this was the benefit.
Who does he hang out with? Andrew must be a stoner.
This was the benefit of the Farmingdale versus Xanthix. Yeah. I had two kind of social lives at this time. And neither was too clued in to the opposite end of it. So I was able to lie to both sides. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So for Xanthix kids, I was like, I'm hanging out with the Dalers tonight. Sick. And for the Dalers, I was like, I'm hanging out with the Friars tonight. And like, I was able to like...
And at the end of the day, you were hanging out with no one.
Maybe my mom.
And she was both. She was a Daler and a Friar.
Yeah, so I was actually telling the truth.
You were.
But I was like, yeah, I remember this picture. There's a video of me. I was so desperate to be perceived as a stoner. Like, so desperate. I don't know why I thought it would be the coolest thing I could possibly do at that time.
Because you're, like, breaking the norm. Like,
I guess. I was like, I'm edgy. And again, Miley was smoking so much weed. That's actually literally why. Like, Miley was smoking, so I had to start smoking. And I was so afraid to smoke that I actually chose to... At one point, I had a fog machine in my room, and I was inhaling the fog and breathing it out to take pictures. That's carcinogens.
You were taking in fog from a fog machine?
I was doing fog rips.
You were doing... Hookah fog rip?
Yes. And it was blowing out like the picture's just like, it's like my mouth is a fog machine that it doesn't look like weed. And that was a tough time for me for sure.
I mean, I know we've talked about my twerking, but like I have, if I'm like retrospectively looking back at my senior year, like being at people's houses and being at people's parties, I'll never forget being at Mary Kate Thompson's house where her parents were in the kitchen and we were all gathered around and Booty Me Down came on, and I actually didn't.
Was this in her backyard?
It was in her backyard.
Yes. Were you there? I have the video of it.
Yeah.
I have the video, and to this day, we can show it.
My ass was shaking in people's faces. Yeah. I was twerking. I was hitting the ground. Yes. I was gyrating.
And in the video, you hear Mary Kate say, "My parents are in the kitchen. My parents are
here." Oh my God, Andrew, my mom sees you.
Yes.
And that.
You'd rather be dead.
That for me was so troubling. That like you'll see it in the video too, because I like
nervous,
but I didn't want to come off as too nervous.
So you kept going.
So I kept going for like five more seconds. Yeah, then it was like, I'll stop. I'll stop now.
But yeah, because you couldn't let that stop you from, you couldn't dull your sparkle.
No,
you know?
Because then I was like, what's up, ladies?
Hey,
girls.
Obviously, again, senior year, I'm writing senior essays. I did do my shots to write my college essay. We talked about that. Yes. An amazing experience for me. I was, like, drinking alone in my basement a lot at this time.
Really?
Like, more than five times. I was, like, doing...
And I would say more than once or twice could cause an alarm.
Five times isn't that many in like a school year.
But were you like taking shots in the basement?
Yeah, I was doing shots of Pinnacle Whip. And then I would watch like the Royal Tenenbaums. Or like Les Mis. And, like, just sit in the basement and watch that.
Just, like, a little bit drunk.
And, like, read the script as I was watching it.
I guess, like, yeah, that was your vice instead of, like, people probably would just smoke weed and do something like that. But you were, like,
if I was able to smoke weed, if I was smoking weed, it would actually be an ideal time for me.
Yeah.
No, I was just doing Pinnacle whip shots.
What was, okay, can we talk about the chokehold of Pinnacle?
The thing is that Pinnacle, specifically Pinnacle whip.
And the Pinnacle Swedish fish.
Poison.
Disgusting.
Where is the deep, deep, deeply layered class action lawsuit investigating what that was doing to our bodies and our minds and our souls?
Our digestive systems.
Yeah, what was it?
It wasn't vodka.
No, it was like a really troubling acetone meets sugar combo.
How do you get it to taste like that?
Did you think it tasted like it?
No, but I'm saying like the artificial everything.
Yeah.
I was putting that shit in a water bottle and I was taking it down this throat. For what?
You were just doing like, you were just chugging it?
I was taking, I would be like doing that. And then
I miss doing that.
You miss binge drinking?
Yeah, I really do kind of miss binge drinking. Do you know what I mean? I haven't been drunk in that way and had a good time. In maybe 2 years.
I know. But I don't know if I necessarily miss binge drinking. I don't know like if I can agree with that one.
I'm just like, I miss the freedom I had mentally at the time.
The feeling at the time was like, binge drinking, especially in high school or like earlier on, comes from the fact that we can't drink until we're 21. Right. So we're like, let's fuck. This is for the system, whatever. Yeah. And we're drinking. And then you're just like, having the best time of your life. Because you're like, I'm doing something I shouldn't be.
Do you remember L.I. Party Stories?
Oh my God.
I'll never forget when Jill Webb was featured on L.I. Party Stories. And I was like, you're never going to college, babe. I was like, good luck. Like,
good luck getting a job.
I was so deeply, I'm sure every town in America had was it an Instagram account?
No, I thought it was Snapchat.
Oh, was it a Snapchat?
Yeah, and like you would go through the stories.
And it was like user submitted videos from like parties, high school parties across Long Island.
People like jumping on pong tables.
Yeah, like sometimes boys with their dicks out.
Yeah, sometimes.
And I loved those.
Yeah.
And it was.
I know.
I remember a lot of those.
Yeah, it was tough.
The culture is get us drunk as close to the point of death as possible, and then share it on social media, which makes more people be like, I should do that so that I could get the shares.
Yes.
Project X was also like this time. Everything was Project X.
Yeah.
Like, everything was to its scariest possible level.
Project X. Yeah, every house parties would be
Project
trying
X.
To replicate that.
Yeah.
Especially if there's a pool. It's like, you guys, it's going to be literally Project X. Like, okay.
I'm like, didn't people die?
Yeah, I'm like, why were you, like, chasing that?
Yeah.
And you want to, like, show that's happening. That's something that I never understood. That's why I was like, if I'm drinking, don't put me on your stories.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because, again, it goes back to I'm not getting into college.
Right.
Because that was the mentality. Being like, if you were to share this about me and somebody caught wind,
I can't recover. I'll never get a job.
Never get a job.
That was the other threat. It was always that. It was like, I guess it's changed because now I feel like these teenagers put everything on fucking TikTok in a crazy way. But like, it was like with Tumblr too. It was like Tumblr had to be secret because we were all like in this circle of trust where it was like these things can't get out because we can't get into colleges and we can't go to can't get jobs. And like it was always like, be careful what you put on Facebook, because colleges go through your Facebook photos. No, the fuck they didn't. No, they fucking did it.
You think that these admissions counselors has going time
every single applicant's Facebook albums? Why did we believe that?
Yeah, we all did.
Who was doing that?
I
firmly was like, absolutely, this is true. Like, mm-hmm. There'd be like a picture of me with a red Solo cup. And I was like, this can't be on Facebook because it would imply that I was drinking. Because
I had Diet Coke in
there. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because it's a cup.
That's crazy. We lived in fear.
We lived in fear.
Terror.
These adults at the time, teachers, people across the board, the anxiety that they created when it came to drinking, when it came to schooling, when it came to like, even I felt the same thing about a damn Regents. And maybe that was just me.
The Regents.
But they were like, if you don't do well on the Regents, colleges do look at that. They do.
Colleges do look
and
at that.
And you might not get into college if you don't do well on the Earth Science Regents. I'm like, why are
I the didn't stress? Give a fat fuck.
I know you didn't.
About
I know
Regents. You didn't.
And I was like, I don't even want to go to a state school. So fuck it.
Like, you like still have a lot of unresolved trauma coming up right now with this one.
I feel heated.
Yeah. I can tell.
I'm happy that I'm confused, but I'm happy.
You're happy, free, confused, and lonely at the same time. Oh, that's what she was talking about.
Yeah,
that's what being 22 is the Regents.
That makes sense.
The Regents were insane. Standardized testing was insane.
APs were insane.
I didn't really take many APs. Yeah. I took like AP English. I talked about this. I got like a 2 on the AP English exam, which is, I should go back and revisit that because I can't imagine that was right. Do you know what I mean?
No, they messed up.
Because
I did better than
if
you.
If there's one thing I know, it's English. If there's one thing I've mastered,
it's this language.
It's the English language.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a tough one. Macroeconomics. Getting your wisdom teeth out.
Yeah, what? Us learning economics?
Why was I learning macro and microeconomics? I couldn't tell you one fucking thing about the GDP. I was 17 years old.
You're like the GD who?
Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, teach me how to write a check. I still don't know.
And if you didn't pass micro and macroeconomics, you couldn't graduate. I knew people who didn't graduate high school on time because they couldn't pass economics.
Micro and macro or just plain economics?
Plain economics.
Yeah.
That was the one course that you literally could not fail.
Economics? And it's, like, trickle-down shit?
It was, and I mean, it was troubling if you couldn't pass it, but you know what?
No, I'm not saying that's, like, an easy thing to do. It's, like, why the fuck does it fucking matter? It
doesn't matter. And it's crazy that, I mean, I guess there are important things to know, kind of, but, like, there are so... That's like forcing people to be in the same major or like learn that same thing. And if you're not good at something like that,
yeah,
to hold them to that same standard.
Yeah. I hate it.
Then I was like,
I passed. Finance.
I was like supply and literal demand.
I was taking a bunch of AP classes senior year, but they were the easiest fucking Mrs. Davis, God bless her.
Were you taking like AP, like universe shit?
No, you wish. I was taking, the classes were business, AP business, AP business law. I took another like business, I took like 3 business classes.
You were a business major.
Yeah, that was a business major, as we all know, for a year. And I couldn't pass macroeconomics the second time, so I'm done with this shit. But I just sat in that room, we just watched Shark Tank all day. All we did was just watch Shark Tank.
And that's a good point for our listeners. If you're a business major,
just watch Shark Tank. Why would you go to school when you could just watch Shark Tank?
Because what Shark Tank's going to do for you is actually probe some thought in your mind to think about how you can fix something that might need to be fixed and how to pitch it and how to present yourself in any situation. Because when you're in front of Barbara Cochran, what are you going to do? You're going to be nervous? No, you're not.
No.
But that's what you learn through Shark Tank, business majors.
Don't go to college. No, I said this to my mom yesterday and she freaked out as if I was like, remember, you were there on FaceTime. When I was like, I didn't have to go to college. She's like, yes, you did.
Oh, she did.
Yes,
she
you like, did. You're
everything you did in college is makes sense now. If you didn't go, the business.
The business. Look, I took one business class.
I'm like, and we do talk finances a lot.
A lot.
Especially on this podcast. We talk finance.
This is a financial advisory podcast. It's what not to do.
Do you think we add that in our tags?
Yes, is finance.
Finance?
Yeah.
I think that could create a whole new market.
A new niche for us.
Because I do think that anybody in the finance industry should hear the conversation we just had about Shark Tank.
Yes. And should hear us talk about the GDP.
Yeah.
What is the GDP?
Gross domestic product.
Product. You're so right.
Is
you sound about right.
Yeah.
I did get my wisdom teeth out and I didn't take that. I didn't really take my final.
Oh, you got those teeth out?
Uh-huh. Amazing time. I loved that.
I'll just say I have the wisest teeth.
You still have your wisdom teeth then?
Yeah, they grew in perfectly.
When are you going to grow up?
No, see, the thing is, I am growing up because I think I'm just the next form of evolution. Like, I'm a different species. Because not everybody gets their teeth to grow in like that, but like my frame just worked that way.
Mine were severely impacted.
Yeah. If anything, that mouth has been
severely impacted. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This was the time, again, I was directing the fall play.
Yes, you were.
Has anyone, I want to ask a question to our listeners, and I need an answer. Has anyone on this goddamn planet heard of the play Turn Back the Clock? Has anyone?
Has anyone?
I know there's one person out there in Milwaukee.
That's screwed.
Who's like, what the fuck? Like, I did Turn Back the Clock.
Our Nebraska listeners are freaking out.
Someone has done Turn Back the Clock, but that's what I directed. And then I did, Anything Goes. A classic. And that was one of the most dramatic days of my entire life, except when the cast list went up and shit went down. And I was ratting people out. I was screenshotting. I was sharing it with our dean. I was sharing it with our brother Joshua, brother Gary. It was a crazy day.
Oh my
God. I was willing to sell everyone out because I wanted to be Billy.
Yeah. You should tell us.
I almost got it. I didn't actually almost get it. I never auditioned.
You should have.
I should have just auditioned for that one.
You should have.
Because I really would have nailed it. I was giving mask too, you know?
You always have been.
I've always been giving masculine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With this raised hat, I could be fooled.
You could be fooled, yeah.
How did you feel about senior cut day?
I did that feeling. Did you like go to the beach or some shit?
Yeah, I went to the beach. I can find a picture, but I was in the same jacket I showed up to the first time when I was in the woods. That baby blue raincoat from Vineyard Vines with my salmon shorts, looking like I had a toupee.
Was the raincoat a body image thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Of course.
Are we still are you right now, is this a little bit body image? Like, do you feel affirmed currently?
I do.
Same.
Yeah. Because, again, when you go through that, it's like I was wearing sweatshirts in any weather.
And all I cared about, like, at that age, the most important thing for me was like, how can I let everyone think that like my chest and my stomach are flat? And like, I would wear a vest, I would wear a jacket, I'd wear a sweatshirt, anything to be like,
stop. My Vineyard Vines vest is the only reason I wore that.
Of course.
That was like, oh,
and it was like, who were we fooling?
We weren't
fooling. Why did we think we were one dimensional?
We were fooling ourselves.
We were fooling ourselves. This episode's all about fooling yourself.
Yeah.
But, like, to this day, I will dress around those insecurities, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And it helps develop a personal style, but, like, at what cost?
That blue raincoat,
your Dailers half zip.
My Dailers half zip. Any sweatshirt, anything. I would look at the pictures and I was like, oh, especially on senior cut day, I do remember putting on that jacket because I was like, there is a slight wind and there is potential for rain. So this jacket is justified.
I was always, you had to justify
it.
If you were a chubby teen, you had to justify everything you wore. Yep. By the weather. And again, me and you talk about this. This is something we would both talk about as kids. We'd be like, we can't wait for the day we could wear a tank top. We would always say that. Like, one day we're going to wear tank tops. That was a goal we had.
And it felt like a far off goal.
Yes.
It was like a, oh my God, you literal guys. With the tank top, it was like, the day that you can't see like
a
my
side boob, yeah,
is the day that like I'm gonna feel comfortable wearing that.
I just remember being children and saying that to each other and being like, that is a goal I have. And it was like, yeah, like the lesson here that everyone needs to internalize truly is like, there's always gonna be something you hate about yourself. Like, no matter what, no matter what direction you take, you can gain weight, you can lose weight, you can gain muscle, you can lose muscle, you can shave your body, you can grow your body hair. Like, you can do anything in the world to yourself. But none of that is going to fix, like, your mind and your heart and your spirit. And so you're always going to look for something else to hate. Like, there's always going to be another problem, another reason you can't wear the fucking tank top. Mm-hmm. Like, for me now, I'm like, oh, I don't have arms big enough to wear a tank top. I still wear tank. I've gotten past the problem. But I'm like, oh, if my arms are bigger, I'd be more likely to wear this tank top. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, when, like, the cycle will never end unless I choose to end it.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like, I'm going to wear the fucking tank top. And I'm like, going to do this fucking thing. I'm going to not wear a shirt. I'm going to, like, not be so obsessed with the problems and just be comfortable.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, why are you, especially when we were in high school, I mean, still now, it's, again, hard to reverse, but it's slowly happening. But why are we putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations? We're creating the space to feel uncomfortable when you literally can show up and be like, no, this is me. What, like, again, like, we're alive, we're healthy, you have friends, you're surrounded by all these people, but like, you're battling things in your head because of like how you feel you're perceived,
like,
which is not even how you're perceived,
right? That's the scariest part. I think if we described ourselves and then described each other, we would describe two completely different people. Yes. Like, the way that we see ourselves is so opposite the way anyone else sees us.
Was senior year pitch perfect?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Lord, I said this to you this week and I mean it. If Lord chose to start a religion, I would and this is not even me trying to be funny. This is not me like being dramatic. Like, I really do. And in this very scary and very real way, I would join her religion
immediately
in a heartbeat. If it meant like moving across the world, if it meant like paying her $1,000 a month, like whatever it took, I would immediately listen to her. At 17, when she dropped Pure Heroin, like, it was a culture shift because, like, we had Alana, we had, like, a Marina and the Diamonds. Like, there were women making this kind of music, but there wasn't, like, a kid making this kind of music yet.
Yeah.
And her being the same age as us and putting out this music about, like, being a teenager and, like, losing your childhood and, like, feeling grown up but still feeling like a kid, mm-hmm. like... And that coming to me that year, like senior year of high school, I was like, you know everything, and I will forever, forever stan her, like, in a crazy way. And then Melodrama to come out, it's like, I think it's about the age thing. Like, no matter what age she is, we're going to be the same age. Yeah. And, like, whatever she's dealing with in a much larger capacity, like, she's dealing with, like, fame and being from New Zealand. Like, I'm dealing with growing up on the farm. And... like, that, it's, like, that kind of artist at level. It's very, the crazy thing I realized is that she's a disciple of Taylor Swift.
Yes.
She's
the real Lord here.
The Swiftian religion is so deep. The lore goes so deep. Taylor Swift is, and I'm not calling her Jesus Christ.
It's a Friday night.
Applebee's.
Actually, no. Applebee's, you finished my sentence. That's exactly what it is.
It's Applebee's.
It's Applebee's because, again, when you're in high school and you're like, I'm not drinking, I'm choosing to go to Applebee's tonight. Half apps.
There is nothing more important culturally than an American teenager going to half apps at Applebee's. You're staying up late. It's 10 p.m.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to get the buffalo wing. I'm going to get the sampler platter. The trio.
Getting the trio. Just getting the honey barbecue.
What about the fucking... The mac and cheese, the penne, the four cheese penne with the barbecue chicken on top.
Was that half price for you?
No. I sometimes want to sell for rings.
That's crazy.
You were getting the honey barbecue boneless rings.
Yeah, of course. Again, with extra ranch, dunking it in there, and then actually getting to a point of...
Sickness? Yeah.
And then having to get behind a wheel and drive home.
And drop me off.
Drop you off.
Yes.
I mean, that's high school in a nutshell.
That is the best. It was like, and you would go to Applebee's and everyone was there. The
who's who.
It was town. Like, who's out at the Airport Plaza Applebee's tonight? Like, who are we going to see? And like, then you would see them and be like,
oh, hey. You're here too? That's so fun. We just came from the movie theater.
It was, I think that, like, Applebee's deserves more credit for raising a generation of American teenagers. Yeah. Like, genuinely bringing us into adulthood. Like,
In that way, it was kind of aftercare. Applebee's
is aftercare. I would say Applebee's, though, is inherently heterosexual and in a non-ally way.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Applebee's is, like, for straight people.
For straight people who... yeah, we shouldn't have felt comfortable going into that space. But when you have anything half price,
it becomes inherently queer.
It becomes queer. It becomes queer because then it becomes just inclusive.
You're so right. You're exactly right. It's it's communism.
Yeah. And they did have like the fruitiest sangria. That I had it, but I mean, I know
I had
that
one recently.
If
I had an apple fruity, sangria recently from Applebee's. That's just pure sugar.
It's just
sugar. Applebee's is straight. Panera is pansexual. Pansexual.
I do believe, Joe, the Cheesecake Factory is bisexual.
I think you're actually so right. And like bisexual in a threatening way.
Yes.
Threateningly bisexual.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. Chili's. Chili's is gay.
You think Chili's is gay? Is it the beer battered chicken tenders?
It's the sizzling fajita. It's the drama and it's the stink of a sizzling fajita.
Stink.
Nothing gayer than drama and a lingering after smell. Mm-hmm. What's the most lesbian one?
Houlihan's? What did you say?
Oh my god. I do feel like Panera is very sapphic, but I still think that it covers all. Panera is a lesbian. Let's be honest.
Panera is a lesbian for sure.
Houlihan's is almost pansexual.
Yeah.
Like, Houlihan's seems like a swinger.
Yeah.
Joe's Crab Shack.
There's Joe's Crab Shack.
Have you ever had a positive experience in Joe's Crab Shack?
No.
Don't they just feel like a disaster zone?
Yeah.
Like something terrible happened on the ground they were built on? Like,
why are there that many crabs at Joe's?
And the weirdly like sexual shirts. It's like, I got crabs.
Crabby down there.
Yeah.
You're like.
And I was like, Mom, I need it. It's just my name. I'm almost thinking Friendly's could be asexual.
Yeah. There's like Cracker Barrel, which...
Cracker Barrel is a conservative Christian.
But again, like, and I'm not justifying the conservative Christians out there, but like, sometimes you just want Mama D's French toast. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, no, I'm willing to swing that way for Cracker Barrel.
I'm willing for to dumpling. Boat row beef for fucking Cracker Barrel. Like prom.
I don't know. There's so much drama with a prom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's asking someone. I asked my prom date out with an apples to apples card. Remember apples to apples being the biggest thing?
I do remember that.
We were obsessed with apples to apples. Mm-hmm. That was honestly a sleigh on my part. Like, I, like, fit it into her deck so that when we were all playing at her party, it, like, she got given a deck of cards, and one of the cards was a custom apples to apples card that said prom with Joe.
Was this the party that I showed up as Santa?
No, that was another party.
Good children to the guidance office.
Hi, I really relate to what you and Andrew, oh my God, why do I assume this is true? I really relate to both of your takes on being mean when you were in high school. There was like a, for sure, like a presence of like meanness and like the funny bully who like wasn't a characteristically like mean bully that punched people in the face, but like socially, you know, it was part of being cool and fitting in, just like being a general bully. I feel like I was a general bully when I was younger. And I think about it and it really sucks and makes me feel bad. And I guess the question is, how do you reconcile with being a kid who might have caused harm or hurt other people's feelings when you were younger? Like, what is your therapy for that? I think. Whatever. Bye.
I bet that's a great frame for the entire episode.
That's a really great, great framework.
Because I would say senior year is absolutely when I became the most villainous version of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, it is... Yeah, it's a time to be a fucking bitch.
It's because it's the time where you feel like you have the most power.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I'm going to use that power to, like, step into this next chapter in my life as the person that I wanted to be.
Because the time is fleeting, and, like, you might damage your reputation, but you're, quote-unquote, never going to see those people again. Never so what do you care? Them.
Nope. And it is a place where I do feel sick.
Yes.
About myself when I was in high school, and that's why, like, I feel like post-grad, I kind of... pushed everyone
Yeah, same. Oh, yeah. So I cut everyone out.
I'm kind of embarrassed. Yes. Like, I found being flashy as a way for me to feel cool.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted the validation that way.
Of course.
And looking back on it, I'm like, that couldn't have been less me. Like, I actually don't really care now. Like,
yeah, you really don't.
I don't. Like, I will wear literally anything that you give me. I will get whatever.
Right.
But then I was like, I needed to prove something. And for that, yeah. I am sorry.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. Like, I think it was... I mean, as I think the main thing about being a teenager is also, like, you're always looking for the way to make yourself not the, like, the prey. Mm-hmm. So if there's someone weaker than you, you're like, look at them. Yeah. Don't look at me. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was also the vibe for me. I was like, oh, I can, like, point to this person as the problem so that you're not bullying me. Mm-hmm. And I did that very often. And I created a lot of problems. And I created a lot of gossip and drama and, you know, just things like that.
Yeah, those are, like, light things to handle, especially when you're in high school.
But for sure.
It definitely is a learning. Do you feel like you've learned
since I mean, then? Yeah. And I do think I'm still stuck. Like, I still feel like I'm like, oh, I'm a horrible person because of, like, those experiences. And it's like, okay, we can like, learn and grow and, like, pay attention to, like, what was mutual, what was one-sided, et cetera, et cetera.
Because when you're 17, like, again, you're still a kid, but you're still, like, going back to the meanness, like, just because you were mean in high school doesn't mean that you're mean now. I think that it was a product of a lot of insecurities. And that's bullying in general. We've talked about it. But, like, if I wasn't quote-unquote mean, but I do think I was... A bitch
is a great way to put it.
Yeah, and it was all based on insecurity.
Yeah, I never sought out to make someone else's day harder. No. But if it came
to make my day better,
I would have let it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to start doing TED Talks. I'm over this.
Oh, I'm hungry.
I'm starving.
What the hell?
You guys, I know we've been doing boards this week. Boards for the past couple of weeks, but...
You're over it?
It's not that I'm over it. I think I'm going to come back with a few more. I just, like, didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry.
These are chocolate Dunkaroo?
They only had the chocolates. And this is the thing. I love Dunkaroos. And
today we have... A chocolate Dunkaroo? It's not... Why? It's not a Dunkaroo at all. What's the point?
I'm confused, but I'm happy for you. Say what you want.
You don't think it tastes like weed?
No.
Mine literally tastes like an edible. Like, actually to a crazy point. Does yours have, like, liquid on top of it?
Yeah.
If you told me this was, like, an edible Dunkaroo, I'd believe you. I'll eat it.
Can you imagine? We're stoned out of our minds. This is the thing about a Dunkaroo. I think... It's incredible that they were allowing kids to just dunk cookies in frosting. Like, that's so iconic. Like, it literally, like, there's no nutritional value to that. It's just for pure pleasure. And sometimes in life, we just need pleasure. And with the chocolate, as opposed to the confetti, number one. The chocolate, tell me it doesn't taste a little bit like brownie batter.
It does taste a little bit like brownie batter, but I'm not obsessed with it. I ate the whole thing. Wow, what a fun little episode. I had a great time. I feel like a mindset shift was needed. You feel like we've entered a new era of Good Children, the podcast.
And I do believe that, like, senior year out of all of the years, like, it all came to a head of, like, what we were going through. Especially body, like schooling. Everything happened in senior year because we felt it was so important.
Yeah.
And before that next stage in our lives... But I'm happy to put a...
I'm going
to
homeschool my kids.
I'm so scared.
They're going to be so pale.
I'm so scared for
you. They're going to be the palest kids you've ever seen. If you haven't gotten a ticket yet, our LA show is on Monday. Monday, March 20th. We will see you there.
And the energy is going to be electric.
Oh, it's going to be insane. And if you're going to miss that one, you want to come to San Diego.
And even if you were in LA and you still want to go to San Diego and switch it up.
Trip. On a Tuesday night.
On a Tuesday night.
We'll see you there.
On the 21st.
On the 21st. And then if you can't make that, we'll see you in San Francisco on April 2nd. The day after April Fool's Day.
And if you can't make that, we'll see you in Seattle. April 3rd
in Seattle. And if you can't make all of that, if you're an East Coast girly and you want to be up at 10:30 p.m. for one of the craziest, truly most unhinged nights of our entire lives, come to the Boston Late Show on April 27th.
Come to the Boston Late Show. And I know you guys are begging. I hear you in Chicago. I hear you in Nebraska. I hear you in Miami. And I hear you in Salt Lake City. But the thing is, we're just two gay
two little boys
that are trying to make their rounds. And
so we'll see you there.
We're gonna get there.
Don't stop begging. Please.
Don't stop begging because like we'll probably see you in like May to June.
Yeah, for sure. So and Philadelphia. Don't forget to do your homework.
Spread the good word. Like, rate, comment, review. I would like to see a few more reviews.
I would like to see a review bump. I would actually.
I do. And this could be a good point for you guys to stop what you're doing and leave a little something.
Leave a little review. Because you know that we need applause to live.
And my love language is words of affirmation. So if that doesn't tell you what I need.
You are so talented. And if you guys want to be featured in the next episode of Good Children, give us a call at 516-366-0826. That's 516-366-0826. Drop a question. Tell us a long story.
Yeah.
Give us some topics you want to hear us talk about, and we will play your call if it is funny, and we will include it in the episode. So, see you next week.
See you next week.
As we go on.
We remember all the times we shared together.
You don't know any words. You just don't know lyrics to anything.
Joe, I can't do this. Like, sometimes I just want to, like, sing the songs the way that I want to sing the songs.